RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome in on this Christmas Eve. Tomorrow, don't forget, right here, 95.7 The Game is Golden State Warriors. Klay Thompson is back. The Draymond Green drama unfolds as they take on the Dallas Mavericks, 2 o'clock tip here on 95.7 The Game. All right, as advertised, I'm just going to read this off. This is like a Wikipedia. Jeff Perlman is an American sports writer. He has written 10 books, which are New York Times bestsellers, 4 about football, 3 on baseball, 2 about basketball, and a biography of rapper Tupac Shakur. Without further ado, let's bring him in. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm good, but I will say, don't believe everything you read on Wikipedia.
Why is that?
A couple things off. Well, on the bright side, I've written 11 books, but it always says I have more bestsellers than I actually have, so I don't want to false advertise and make it sound. I don't have 10 bestsellers. I had 7, which is great, but I'm just saying I don't have 10. So I don't want to be one of those guys who lies about his pedigree.
Oh, I would just go with it and blame it on Wikipedia. That's not on you.
What I mean is I have 200 bestsellers. That is actually what I mean to say.
Well, the one thing it does not mention here, and I'm hooked, man, I split my time between San Francisco and New York, and when I fly, it's when I throw up the laptop and I start, wherever, so this algorithm now takes me to, and I don't see this on your page here, but I go straight to the Press Box Chronicles, which is what it is that you do. And I'm telling you, man, we could start wherever, but that's a good place. You know why? Because I happen to see the Marcus Lattimore, and when I see the thumbnail, I'm like, oh, Lattimore, I kind of know this story. Like, I've covered the 49ers and, I know he was a stud coming out of high school. Everybody wanted him. He trashed his knee at South Carolina. The Niners took a roller on him. Yeah, I know that. But then I'm thinking it's Perlman that's doing this. There's got to be a twist here. And I am telling you, man, I did not see that coming. And I'm a dude who swims in the bay and meditates. That, to me, was just absolutely blew me away. And for 49er fans out there that know who Marcus Lattimore is, obviously, can you, and I don't need you to, you don't have to necessarily rehash the story verbatim, but can you just sort of give us a snapshot of the story that you did to him on your podcast?
Yeah, first of all, I love that guy. Like, I love that guy. He's one of my all-time favorite, not just athletes, but probably people I've ever dealt with. And, like you said, Lattimore was a stud coming out of high school in South Carolina. He was a stud at the University of South Carolina. But his junior year, he suffered a...
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Absolutely devastating knee injury. Would have been a top, 10 pick in the NFL draft. Devastating knee injury. Declares himself eligible for the draft after his junior year. 49ers take kind of a flyer on him in the fourth round, and he never winds up playing. And just he can never get past the knee injury. And he returns to South Carolina, and he does that thing a lot of ex-athletes do, right? He attends banquets, and he tries coaching, and he speaks, and he gets this honor and that honor. And as it's all going on, he finds it less and less and less and less satisfying. And there's a moment when he gets inducted into the South Carolina Sports Hall of Fame where everyone's congratulating him and asking him to tell the story about this game and that game. And he's like, I don't want this to be my life. Like, I don't want this. I don't want to be telling these stories 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now over and over again. And he and his wife leave the state of South Carolina where they figured they'd live forever, move to Oregon. He becomes a poet, like a professional poet. She opens a yoga studio. He's an amazing writer, But what I really dig about him is he kind of gets the ridiculousness of it all. You know, like he understood, he saw, I think what a lot of athletes get sucked into just because of the money and the fame is like living off your fame forever, living off your notoriety forever, having people ask for your autographs, and he realized that the fade on that is really quick and the return on that mentally is very little, and he just wanted to escape it. Now he's this guy who's like living in Oregon, smoking weed, writing poetry, doing yoga, eating a healthy diet. He's an amazing, amazing man, and it was a pleasure to do that episode.
Yeah, so talk to me a little bit more about, is it fair to call it a podcast? I guess it is, right?
It's kind of a YouTube series that also is a podcast. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
so...
I don't know. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know what's... So I think, in all seriousness, that you're one of the greatest sports writers. I mean, I put you in the pantheon of Red Smith, Grantland Rice, I mean, Frank DeFord. You're right up there. But the one thing that those guys didn't have, and I don't know that they could do this, is that platform or that vehicle on YouTube. So the amazing thing about you, and this is not going to be a suck-up fest for the next half hour, I promise you, Jeff, but the one thing that you do is that when you tell your stories, when you chronicle your stories, I just feel like you're a dude I went to college with. Like, it's so well told. And it's probably, especially when you're dropping the D lines on a guy like Dave Kingman. But another guy, just to bring it back to the Bay Area so it's identifiable for the audience out there, talk to me about Barry Bonds. Obviously, you wrote the book on Barry Bonds. And just sort of your overall thoughts on the former Slugger.
I mean, to be honest with you, I was always a guy. So I wrote a book on him, Love Me, Hate Me, Barry Bonds and the Making of an Anti-Hero. That sold at least 12 copies, maybe 13. And it actually came out 2 weeks, I think, after Game of Shadows, and that was kind of all she wrote for me. But I spent a lot of time covering him and writing about him, and I was always against him getting in the Hall. Like, for the longest time, I was. Like, he obviously cheated. He knew he cheated. He lied about cheating, et cetera, et cetera. And then, over the past, whatever, 5, 6, 7 years, the voters starting letting in guys we know use. They let Piazza in. They let Bagwell in. They let Pudge in. They let Big Poppy in. And if you're going to deny people just because they were jerks, like, to me, the line, look, we're not letting in cheaters, I could go with that 100%. But when you start saying, no, we're going to let the cheaters in who are nice to us, that's when you lose me. So, like, Bonds was the least likable human being I've ever covered in my life. I mean, he went out of his way to make your job harder, your day a little bit more miserable. He was a guy who never said thank you to the person holding the door open for him. The guy who would gladly skip teammates who wanted something signed. Like, not a good guy. But if you're going to let in people who used PED, you have to let him in. So I actually support him getting in very begrudgingly.
I don't know if you're familiar with, well, I'm assuming you are, but the recent apology by that of Brandon Ayuk. First of all, did you see that?
I don't know if I did. Wait, what happened?
Well, Brandon Ayuk was speeding in his new car. And okay. Brandon Ayuk, obviously the wide receiver for the 49ers, who has been in the eye of a storm. He quit on the team. He's just talking about whether he's going to be released or traded. Anyways, he was recently speeding in his car, going upwards to 100 miles an hour in a 25-mile-an-hour zone out in Santa Clara. And simply because I'm a press box groupie and a junkie, I immediately flashed to Henry Ruggs. And I don't know how many people are making that association today, because it wasn't that long ago. And so he made this public apology. I think it was either today or yesterday to Brandon Ayuk. Just talk, if you could, for a minute about the Henry Ruggs situation and also this cat, Tony Rodriguez.
Yeah. First of all, I just want to say, like, one of my favorite quotes or most oft-repeated quotes is George Santayana, and it's youth is wasted on the young. And I just think, like, so many of these guys, athletes in particular, who are young and at their physical peak and they're famous and they're wealthy, they just lose track of their mortality and that they die just as easily as you and I do. And I think that's really what you see a lot. And Henry Ruggs, several years ago, Raiders wide receiver, and I did a story for Sports Illustrated back when this happened. You know, Raiders wide receiver, wealthy, young, living on top of the world, and he's driving way too fast, way too drunk down a strip in Las Vegas, and his car slams into the back of a very slow-moving car belonging to a woman named Tina Tinter, who was about 23 and had recently worked at Target. And Tina Tinter and her dog Max were in the car, and they were both killed on impact. And when that happened, I was just kind of, as a writer, I was sort of intrigued by this idea of two worlds coming together. And you have this rich, famous young athlete who causes this awful accident and changes his life forever. And you have this young woman who just works at Target and nobody knows, and she and her dog are killed. And I went to Las Vegas and I couldn't get anyone to talk. Like, I spent days, it's a couple weeks after the accident, trying to get to Ruggs, no good. I'm trying to get to Tina Tinter's family, no good. And in one of the old articles, I found a name, Tony Rodriguez. And Tony Rodriguez, just according to the article, was a witness to the crash. And I decided I needed to find Tony Rodriguez. It was kind of my last gasp on trying to write something. Very common name in Las Vegas. Called around, finally got his sister. And his sister said, oh, yeah, Tony, he was the one at the crash. I'll put you in touch with him. The next day, I meet at a Starbucks with Tony Rodriguez, and I didn't realize this. I didn't know this until literally the moment we met. He was a homeless heroin addict who he would steal scrap metal in order to, and then sell it to pay for his heroin. And he happened to be returning from a metal haul when he sees this accident, and he's with another friend, and he jumps out of his car, and he runs to Tina Tinter's burning vehicle, and the vehicle is overcome by fire and smoke. And he reaches his hands in at one point, and he feels her arm. He can't see it, but he feels her arm. And he's trying to get her seatbelt undone, but he can't. And finally, the smoke and the heat overcome him, and he runs away. The car blows up. Tina Tinter, the dog, die. And this guy, again, this is Tony Rodriguez. He's a 48-year-old heroin addict, and he's driving away from the scene, and he looks down at his hands, and they're covered in her blood from her arm. And he stops at a hospital and he washes his hands and the blood coming off his hands are trickling into the... Anyway, I'm sitting there interviewing him for hours and he's absolutely devastated. Like, he's already, his life has been hell. He went from being this promising athlete to a guy stealing scrap metal to pay for heroin, living homelessly. And now he's haunted by this woman's arm and the blood on his hands. And he even, like, he starts sleeping by a makeshift roadside memorial for Tina Tinter. And he's just devastated. And I did this story about him and Henry Ruggs and Tina Tinter. Story comes out, it runs, and 40 days later I get an email or a text from Tony. Actually, he called me, a call. And he's like, hey, Jeff, I want to just let you know I've been sober for 40 days and I'm so happy. And I just want you to know, I just thought you'd want to know. I was like, Tony, that's amazing. That's amazing. And I said, keep me posted. I never heard from him again. I texted him several times. I recently did that episode on the Press Box Chronicles, and I wound up getting an email from a relative of his saying he died of a heart attack.
Powerful. We're talking to Jeff Perlman, the American sports writer. He's written 10 books, seven of which have been on the New York Times bestseller list. And, of course, as I mentioned, the host of the Press Box Chronicles. I'm just telling you, man, if you guys are out there and you got some time to burn, just check this out. It's the Press Box Chronicles. It's on YouTube, and every story is fascinating. And you think that, oh, okay, it's Bo Jackson. Dude, I've heard that story before. Not like Jeff Perlman delivers this thing. You know, Jeff, really quick, so the guy that booked you is my producer, Steven Rizzotto. We call him Pasta. And Pasta is a sports writer. He doesn't have, usually the people that produce here or do whatever here at the station are ambitious to get in front of a mic or eventually want to host a show or do whatever, maybe be cross into television. He just wants to write, which I think is fascinating. And I always tell him, like, do that. Do you, man. Don't get sidetracked and stay in your lane. Do you think sort of the profession where it's at right now, when you think about, again, even at ESPN now, if you're a writer, I guess you get an opportunity to do shows where you're on TV. When I was coming up in the industry, it was when I was in college, I remember I interned for the NBC affiliate, and I would go down and I'd get sound at Giants and A's games, and you could clearly see the room when you had to stake out Will Clark's locker room, that there was television people and the print guys. And the print guys hated television people. It's like, oh, you little pretty boy's going to come in for your 10-second soundbite. You're not a real journalist. Can you just sort of talk about where sports writing and sports writers and just sort of that industry is at right now? Is it a bit of a dinosaur? Is there some hope? I mean, when you think about sort of modern technology and all the tools that are now available to sports writers, can you just sort of give some sort of an indicator of where that thing is headed these days?
I mean, I wish I could be super positive, but I mean, you probably see it in sports talk radio too. Like, in a way, newspapers, sports talk, like these mediums that I thought would just be live forever are quickly being replaced. I mean, it's weird. My Tupac book came out a couple months ago. And in the past, how would you promote it? Well, you'd get excerpts in different newspapers. You'd hope for book reviews in different newspapers and magazines. And now I would take Taylor Swift doing a TikTok video or an Instagram post about my book over any of those. You know, like, I'm promoting my book primarily via TikTok. So you're actually using a medium that requires on basically 30-second videos to promote a 400-page book. It doesn't make sense. And more newspapers are declining. I think the role of gambling as an advertising source has really hurt sports media. I just think we are really damaged. And the other thing is I think all of us, I don't know, I don't want to speak for yourself, but even for me, like, I used to love sitting down, opening up Sports Illustrated, reading 3,000 words on Willie Stargell, right? Reading 6,000 words on Ricky Henderson. Like, I love that stuff. I don't know how many people now, I mean, no one's reading down, sitting down in front of a magazine or newspaper, but I don't find it as satisfying in doing it on my phone. So I feel like these mediums that were once very reliable and dependable and comforting, and you'd wait a week, you'd get the Sports Illustrated in the mail, you'd read about the Super Bowl, you'd read about the World Series. It's just kind of gone, and there's still great sports writing out there. But, man, it is an industry in big trouble. It just is.
You just referenced your latest book detailing the life of Tupac Shakur. Again, local ties, grew up in Marin City. It's funny because you know about Marin City, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm. Very much.
Yeah, so people out in these parts, we know Marin City, but, you know, I spent time in New York, and when you say Marin, they're like, yeah, oh, that's like one of the most affluent places in the world. What's really funky about Marin City, it's like this little spot of this, you know, this community that exists in really sort of this wealthy area here. And believe you me, there's a lot of them. But just why Tupac Shakur and what sort of was the origin of all of this?
Well, first I want to say I spent a lot of time in Marin City for the book. And Marin City, so it's public housing, and all the wealthy areas have tried knocking down the public housing because that's what rich people do. But It is historically protected. The buildings are historically protected because they were not designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, but they were inspired by Frank Lloyd Wright, and somehow they became historically protected. So it would take a small act of God to actually tear them down, and it's actually beautiful. And I met a lot of lovely, great people in Marin City. To answer your question, I wrote 10 books all about sports. I want to try something different. I said to my agent, I said, I really would love to write a book about Tupac. I love hip-hop, fascinated by his mystique. And my agent, great guy, he's like, you're a white sports writer. Do you really think this is a match for you? And I was like, well, I've been waiting forever for someone to write the book about Tupac that I want to read, and I don't think anyone's going to do it. So I'm just going to do it. And it was a lot harder than any book I've written. I definitely was an outsider to hip-hop and hip-hop writing, but I took 3 years of my life to do it, interviewed 650 people, traveled everywhere. Again, a lot of time in Marin City, a lot of time in Oakland, a lot of time in Baltimore and New York. And I just, I don't know, it was awfully hard, but also very satisfying.
Can you just, without the expletive, just tell us the story about the first police officer who was on bike on the boulevard out in Las Vegas that arrives to the crime scene and the last words that Tupac had on planet Earth?
Yeah, well, this is when Tupac is shot at the corner of Flamingo and Colville. He's in Suge Knight's BMW in the front seat. And Orlando Anderson and Keefe Deep drive up, shoot him. And, you know, Suge Knight doesn't really know what he's doing. He starts driving, and they wind up sort of getting, you know, slamming into the side of the road, and it's an entourage of cars and from death row. And that night was the Mike Tyson-Bruce Seldon fight. Tupac and Suge had attended the Mike Tyson-Bruce Seldon fight at the MGM Grand. And Las Vegas police always hated Mike Tyson fights because they drew a ton of gangbangers from L.A. So they were always short-staffed because people were calling sick for Tyson fights. True story. And the closest police officer was on a bike. So imagine you're on a bike and you're a cop and you pull up to this scene where it's Suge Knight and Tupac slumped over in the front of a BMW. And this cop pulls out his gun and he walks closely to the car and Suge Knight sort of puts his hands up. And Tupac's door opens, and Tupac kind of slumps out. And the cop walks up to Tupac and says, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And Tupac looks at him, and his last words are, F you. And those are the last words he ever spoke, were F you.
My producer's literally, his jaw just dropped. No joke. Wild stuff. Jeff Perlman, what do you want to tease, the book or the podcast, or do you care about that crap?
No, I don't. You know what? Honestly, I just... I'm happy to be here. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, what I am a big supporter of is journalism in general. San Francisco Chronicle is still a great paper with a lot of great writers. The Athletic producing great stuff. You know, there is still great writing and material out there. There's still great sports talk radio out there. We just need people to continue to support it.
Jeff, you know, they're telling me we got to wrap, but I got to pitch you, and I know people probably do this to you all the time.
No, go ahead. I'm here for it.
Okay, so I'm praying that you don't know about this, and so I'm assuming that maybe you have. So this is sort of on the heels of the New York Mets back in the day where they tried to do the rap song, and this is on the heels of the We Are the Chicago Bears. Everybody were doing those sort of things back in the mid-'80s. All right, so in God, I hope you don't know about this. So in San Francisco, the year is 1984. They're the worst team in baseball. They have a mascot. Stop me if you've heard this, but it's called the Crazy Crab.
I remember the Crazy Crab.
Is that not potential fodder for a chronic?
Maybe. Was the crab? The crab was hated, right? Is that fair to say?
So, Jeff, check it out. So they lost 96 games. They were the worst. This is the stick. There was like 1,500 people. They decide to roll out what was called the anti-mascot. Like, it's Candlestick. It's the middle of the summer. It's freezing. The team sucks. It's the antithesis of like the San Diego chicken, right? This is like a crab that would roll around and just piss people off. I remember when I was a kid, my buddy said, hey, my middle name's O'Brien. Hey, Obi, do you want to go to the Giants game? We can throw stuff at the crab. Like, that was the incentive, man. And so, really quick, Jeff.
No, so, I'm in no rush. It's all good. It's
in
all good. 80, yeah, go
84,
ahead.
That was the year that Michael Jackson breaks out at the, I think it was the Motown 25th anniversary. He does.
Yeah, when he does the moonwalk. On
yes, he does Billie Jean. So everybody's trying to moonwalk, and we're like, oh, that's so cool. This dude can moonwalk. So the Crazy Crab, just to incite people, would moonwalk, but the worst moonwalk. And that would just, like, you'd throw hot dogs at him. And just the backstory of the Crazy Crab and that one summer in San Francisco, I'm like, This is Perlman. It's got his name written all over it.
All right, I want to say two things to you. Number one, I'm not kidding. I'm on it. Number two, 1984, I was 12 years old, and me and my family, we lived in New York. We never went anywhere. We go to Florida to see Grandma and Grandpa. That's about it. But 84, we took a trip to California, and I was the only sports fan in our family. My dad, my mom, my brother, nobody cared about sports. And they told me we could go to a Giants game, and we didn't know anything about anything. It was Giants-Mets, Dwight Gooden, Mike Kruko. It was a night game. It had to be 5 degrees in that stadium by the fifth inning. We were freezing our asses off. And I remember the highlight was there was nobody there. So you could go, even though Gooden was in the midst of this dominant rookie season, you could go down to the railing and get all these autographs. And I remember getting like Ron Darling and Ron Hodges. And George Foster came up to us, me and my brother, and he gave my brother, he didn't sign autographs because he was a jerk. He would just hand out cards. And the card is a picture of him, and it says, "What you are is God's gift to you, and what you do with what you are is your gift to God." And I got that card, which is still in a scrapbook, at a Giants game in 1984, freezing my ass off, watching that stupid crab do his dance. And I am committing to you right now, I will push hard to do the crab.
You saw the crab.
I saw the crab.
Oh, yes. My God. Okay, they're waving me out. But really quick, so in that same year, if you stayed for an extra inning game, they would give you something called the Crowded Candlestick. And literally an usher, as you left, would say thank you for your services. Meaning it was like, to your point, 12 degrees out, you saw one of the crappiest teams in baseball. Here's like a Purple Heart. Like that's how bad the PR was and the Giants were at the time. We're like way over. But Jeff, I love
wait,
you, man.
Wait, I want to tell you one thing. I have to say one thing.
Don't tell me you have one.
On that 84 Giants team, Johnny LeMaster was a shortstop.
Yes.
And in that same season, he played for the Indians, the Pirates, and the Giants. Three last place teams in the same season. That is talent.
Okay, do you know what Johnny LeMaster, what he went onto the, when he was introduced and ran onto the field, what he wore on the back of his jersey one day?
I don't know.
No, the word boo. He removed LeMaster and replaced it with boo because that dude just would get, he was absolutely the object of everybody's ire when they were bad.
That's awesome.
And his brother was a linebacker with the Eagles. Remember Frank LeMaster for years?
Hey, oh, Jeff, I didn't know that.
Yeah, for sure. Jeff, man, I feel like you're my best friend, man. Just, I'm a groupie. I love you. All the best. Happy holidays. And hopefully we can do it again.
All right. Take care.
Take care, Jeff. All right. We're over. We got to get out of here. We'll be back here on 95.7 The Game. We'll do much more after this. You want me to read? Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't sure we had to get to the break. That segment was sponsored by the California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans. We good?
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.